Blog Talk Radio.
It's happening to the world because I feel that it's so interactive
we're so interactive that, you know, everybody's going crazy, folks. And there's not much we can do about it. But at least we can kind of communicate and console each other in some way. Say, hey, look what's happening here, or look what's happening there. Hey, you know, the rest of the world is going crazy too, and they're mad and they're pissed off and they're trying to break the system. And and we're working, folks. It's working, but it's a long, hard war that we're in. And every day, new and new craziness comes out, and we find out we're betrayed more and more and more every single day by the people we elected, and some of the people we trust, and their leaders, and our, oh, God. So, you know, we have to find it within ourselves. Well, you know, I was looking, I was kind of going back to March on my website, and I get anywhere from about, I don't know, from 600 to 1,000 readers every day. And that's not kidding. I mean, that's a fair number. You know, 600, 700, 800, 1,000, you know, and then they go down and up and down. And from over 110 countries around the world. And so I feel like somehow I'm connecting, you know. And my radio show is at 5,000 to 10,000 visitors, listeners every month. And, you know, that's modest, very modest. But, you know, it's hardcore listeners that are people that, you know, are identifying with something that I'm saying. And so, you know, I keep doing this. And my Thursday night show is the most popular night. And I'm grateful for that. And I try very, very hard to come up with shows. And sometimes I can't. So sometimes I'll cancel the Thursday night show because I don't have the inspiration for it, you know, the motivation to do it. Or sometimes I can't do it. I'm out of town or something like that. But I want to start off tonight with an essay, a very short essay that I wrote back on March 5th. It was called The Lost Story. Many years of my life account for a lost story of forgotten places and people. Years of my life are a blur of aging memories that fade further away. What I want now is different from what I wanted then. I need to fill in the gaps of time that only I know about and can explain or ignore. Living a memory over again is foolish. My mind is the only time machine I have, and my memory fails too often to be accurately reliable. Unless I have documented the events of the days, weeks, and hours, I cannot recall deeply repressed memories unless I'm prompted by a visual or audio prompt or a journal entry that might jar a memory from its hiding place. The lost story of my life is lost forever, because I cannot or do not want to remember it. What I was has little or no resemblance to what I am now. The odd transformation from what I was to what I've become didn't happen quickly. I created it throughout my life. I cannot remember my losses or hurts or offenses of my past. I only think of now. I only assess my actions on what I am feeling and doing now, and not on what I did in the past or what to do in the future. Because the past is gone, and the future hasn't arrived yet. Yeah. On occasion, I come across these incredible videos, songs, and I'm going to play a couple of them for you tonight, my faves. And back in March, March 5th, I posted this one, which was like Keb Mo. And he's gained a lot of celebrity status lately. He's doing a lot of promotion. A lot of this video has helped him out tremendously, and his work is quite remarkable, really. But the meaning of this song, it's called "The Better Man," is part and parcel of my belief that we can all be better men and women, but in this case, a better man. So I'm going to play this this song for you tonight. It's by Kev Moe and Zora and his band. And I hope you really enjoy it. It's a great song. And you can get it on YouTube, by the way.
I don't know. the lane.
Thank you again to you. Yeah. That's the thing called I'm Going Home by Mr. Helicopter. Thank you.
Oh!
Okay, blame them, and most of the people in North Korea would cheer and be relieved. Kim Jong-un replacement would immediately become a national and international hero and be given the Nobel Peace Prize. If the UN placed a bounty on Kim Jong-un's life of $100 million instead of sanctions on his country, little Kim Jong-un would be dead or in prison within weeks. And that was my stand on that. And I was amazed at the response I received for that. But, you know, at the same time, and still, I mean, I'm still getting 10 or 20 searches a day for that. Kim Jong-un is the world's biggest city. You know, it just cracks me up, you know. Sometimes you just hit a nerve, and, you know, people respond. Back in March again of this year, Jeb Bush announced that he might run in 2016 as a candidate for president. And I wrote this article as soon as I heard it. The absurdity of a Jeb Bush presidential run in 2016. Now, I wrote this on March 10th. I said, I saw Jeb Bush on one of the news television programs this morning stating that he wants to run for president in 2016. I almost barfed up my breakfast. The Republicans just don't seem to understand the American people. Why in God's name would they consider another brain-dead Bush brother for their presidential candidate in 2016? Do they honestly think that Jeb Bush wouldn't be completely destroyed by the liberal media and be spit on at every campaign stop by every American who despises the name of Bush? I consider expatriating under the G.W. Bush presidency. I still hold that choice as a viable option if we had to endure another Bush presidency and a Republican-controlled Congress. This country would become politically and environmentally uninhabitable. The world hate is too mild a word. The word hate is too mild a word for how the world feels about the Bush family. G.W. Bush is wanted in every country except the U.S. for war crimes. His father should have been tried for war crimes against the Iraqis and the Iranian people. Jeb Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a traitor who financed the Nazis in Germany and the Communist Revolution in Russia. Jeb Bush, as governor of Florida, rigged the voting machines in the 2000 presidential election in Florida and illegally purged over 90,000 Democratic voters from the Florida registry, and had his crooked Secretary of State announce Jeb's idiot brother as the winner of the Florida election. 5 Supreme Court justices, several appointed by George Bush Sr., ruled to disallow the recount of Florida ballots. Their unconstitutional action won the presidency for G.W. Bush and the dirtiest election in U.S. history. The Bush family has always been a curse to the U.S. Another Bush brother presidential candidate in 2016 would be a greatest mockery, insult, and show of contempt for the American people ever conceived. The Republican Party is a party of parasites and predators hired by the Koch brothers and other corporations to work against the American people. They are the cancer ravaging the body and soul of the United States. The entire Bush family have played a major role as leaders of these cancer-causing parasites. The Bush family and the Republican Party must never gain power again. I wrote an article again, a short essay, on March 11th, actually. It's called Why We Hate. And, you know, I've thought about hatred over the many years, and I've come to believe that I hate, you know, as much as anybody. I really do hate some people. But I think I came to understanding of why we hate. or at least why I hate it. And I want to read it for you tonight. It said, why we hate. I have given hatred much study over the years. I realize now why I hate. Not only is hatred a basic human trait, it is one of the most effective methods of self-defense. Hating someone who physically attacks you is a normal action. If someone says they hate someone, then the hatred is mutual, unless the hatred invokes the Christian concept of turn the other cheek. Well, my interpretation of turning the other cheeks means turn my ass cheek to the offender and not my face. I hate because I see what is happening and who is doing it, and I become self-defensive. How can one not hate someone who wants to kill you or destroy you and everyone you love, or anyone who has done nothing to deserve hatred towards them except being another color or religion or even government and ideological belief? Hatred is a hormone that triggers our brain to fight or run. When it is unregulated by the defects of jealousy, envy, greed, or insanity, it can plague mankind with the most horrific and barbaric crimes. I hate, but that does not make me a sociopath or a psychopath. It merely makes me mortal. The Christian method of madness is to love thy neighbor. That is impossible unless you were having an affair or had an affair with your neighbor. Love your fellow churchgoers. I don't belong to a church because I can't stand any sanctimonious, hypocritical congregation that preaches love and God in war, governmental control and state and corporate-sponsored genocide. Sorry, folks, it just isn't going to happen. I hate because there is so much to hate, and hatred is the only power to fight with to keep all I hate away from me. Loving a murderer, thief, rapist, or genocidal institution is sheer and utter madness. I would sooner hate than spend a moment accepting these people who would soon turn on me as their prey. Hatred is a healthy emotion. Love is a very dangerous one. I hate because I have been deceived and abused. I hate because I despise all who oppress and enslave societies. I hate all who worship money over God. I hate anyone who would deprive a child food, shelter, and clothing to enrich themselves or deny a people freedom, safety, adequate food and shelter, education, or anything that aids humanity. Why shouldn't I hate these people? Love for them is impossible. Death and misery are guaranteed by this present system. Hatred is healthy. Don't deny it, but don't let it take over your life. Understand the dangers that exist and be prepared to defend yourself from them. We hate because it is part of our human heritage. We love from the same reason. It is in our DNA. No one will ever convince me to love someone who is out to destroy me or harm me. Hatred exists because it's a natural part of us. There you go, folks. That's my thought. What can I tell you? You know, what's really fascinating to me is I'm going to ask everyone to go to it, but you know, the election of the first satanic pope, Pope Francis. A Jesuit, he's a Jesuit. And I'll just read the beginning of this, and I'll ask that you might refer to it in the future here to my article. On March 13th, 2013, today I witnessed via television the election of the first satanic pope. Pope Francis is not only the first Jesuit to be elected pope, but he is also the first pope on record to swear an oath to Satan. I am not exaggerating this indictment. I was amazed as I looked at the crowd of the cameras of all three American news networks scanned the crowd in front of the basilica, waiting for the announcement of a new pope. To my astonishment, I saw what appeared to be 100,000 gay men cheering on the election of his first Jesuit South American satanic pope. Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but after you read this official Jesuit oath, I think you will at least wonder who this Pope Francis really is. If ever there was an evidence of an Antichrist, here is the evidence. If you are a Catholic and read this and do not denounce your faith, then you are a son or daughter of Satan. Also, at the end of this oath is a statement by the resigned Pope Benedict regarding the Jesuits and the Black Pope. The Jesuit oath of induction is also recorded in the Congressional Record of the United States of America, House Bill 1523, contested election case by Eugene C. Bonnewell against Thomas S. Butler, February 15, 1913. It can also be found in a book entitled Subterranean Rome by Charles Didler, translated from the French, published in New York in 1843. And this oath is very long, but if you read it, it'll frighten you. And you'll see. So, but the superior speaks to the initiate. He says, "My son, heretofore you have been taught to act the dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man, among the reformers to be a reformer, among the Huguenots to be a Huguenot, among the Calvinists to be a Calvinist, among other Protestants generally to be a Protestant, and abstaining their confidence, to seek even to preach from their pulpits and to denounce in all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among Jews, that you might be enabled to gather information, all information, for the benefit of your order as a faithful soldier of the Pope. You have been taught to insidiously plant and seed the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace, and incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war and each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and the sciences and enjoying the blessings of peace, to take sides with the combatants and to act secretly with your brother, Jesuit, who might be engaged on the other side, but openly opposed to that with which you might be connected, only that the church might be the gainer in the end, and in the conditions fixed in the treaties for peace, and that the end justifies the means. You have been taught your duty as a spy to gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source, to ingratiate yourself into the confidence of the family circles of Protestants and heretics of every class and character, as well as that of the merchant, the banker, the lawyer, and among the schools and universities and parliament and legislatures and the judiciaries and the council of state, and to be all things to all men for the Pope's sake, whose servants we are unto death." Now, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And this, my friends, is who we made Pope. Who the Pope is now a Jesuit, an ultimate Satanist, a man who has sworn his allegiance to Satan. All right, in this horrific, horrific thing. And Benedict the First delivered on April 22nd the Psalm to the Jesuits and the Pilgrim, and he says, "Dear fathers and brothers of the Society of Jesus," which is the Jesuits, "I meet you with great joy in this historical basilica after St. Peter's, after the Holy Mass celebrated for you by Cardinal Angelo Sedano, my Secretary of State, on the occasion of combined jubilees in the Ignatian family. I address my cordial greeting to you." And he goes on, kissing their asses like there's no tomorrow, these Jesuit Satanist bastards, all right? And folks, I don't know if you are Catholic or not, but I swear to God, with all that's holy, if you read this and you know anything about these hypocritical Satanists, all right, you'll denounce your faith immediately in Catholic Church. But instead, you see millions and millions of idiots, fools, complete idiots, praising this Satan, you know. Our founding fathers, one of their greatest fears was the Jesuits. It's true. In their writings, had Washington and Jefferson and so on. And even it's even stated that Lincoln was assassinated by the Jesuits. All right? The Jesuits, Wilkes Booth. Okay. John Wilkes Booth was actually a Jesuit initiate. All right? So, these things are, Lincoln was marked. So, I don't know. I don't know what else I can tell you about that, folks. But, you know, read it and weep. And if you want to read a copy of that, please go to my March archives. Come to lastillshow.org, and I think you'll be amazed. I got about 10 minutes left, and I've only gotten through some part of the essays I wanted to read tonight. But I think this one is quite potent, and I believe strongly in this. And it says, "Why truth offends." And I wrote this on March 31st. If anyone wants to offend someone, simply tell them the truth. The truth is so offensive to most people because most people live a lie. We constantly bury our heads in the sands of illusions, newspeak and government propaganda and mindless television programs designed to sedate the general public into the mindless acceptance of the world as it is according to those who control our lives. If I say to an anorexic person, "You're far too skinny, but put on some weight before you die," they won't believe me. Even if their bones are protruding out of their skin and they can't keep their pants from falling off. If I say to an extremely obese person, "They are ridiculously overweight," they won't believe me and will just waddle onward. It is impolite to tell the truth to people today. Instead, governments and businesses are making national policies and laws to reduce obesity in the U.S. Many people in every country find homosexuality offensive and the thought of gay marriage far too radical to tolerate. Homosexuality is an issue that affects millions of men and women worldwide and is no respecter of age, race, or gender. Today, we must consider the acceptance of gay marriage and gay adoptions as part of mainstream life in America. To the extent of it currently being brought to the Supreme Court for a decision, racism offends me because it is the blatant denial of human rights and dignity to an individual or race of people. If I say to someone who insists on denying a minority his right to vote or his right to make a living wage or his right to equal public education that they are racist, then I again offend someone because I tell them the truth about themselves. Recently, I have offended a billion people in my several articles I've written regarding the Catholic Church, Jesuits, and the Pope. Christ didn't care if he offended the Jewish religious establishment. I can't believe Christ would not criticize the Catholic Church and its 1 billion followers for believing in a cruel, manipulating, hypocritical, and malicious religion that undermines governments, tortures and kills its opponents, steals billions of dollars, molests millions of children, denies women their natural right to birth control, and insists on women's subordinate roles in the church to never be part of the Catholic Church hierarchy, which can only be held by male perverts and homosexual men. sorry if I offend someone. When I say all religions are myths woven in fallacies and hypocrisy to control the world population, the truth is so far too offensive for any religious devotee to want to listen to or take seriously. They would much rather listen to priests talk in parables and ministers preach fire and brimstone, burn incense, and believe the end of the world is here than believe the truth that their religion is a farce. Frightening, Anna, folks. Absolutely frightening. I had to break things up a little bit, and I wrote on April Fool's Day, April 1st. I wrote up a short poem inspired by April. It's called April Fool. I'm always fooled by April. While searching for eternal spring, hoping for warmer weather and to hear birds sing. But I get fooled again and again by snow, wind, and rain, until April leaves and May arrives, and the world is new again. There's one other that I... Another. This is a poem. It's called Are You Mainstream? It says, are you mainstream? Am I mainstream? Is he mainstream? Is she mainstream? Are they mainstream? Are we mainstream? Are we insane? Are they insane? Is he insane? Are you insane? Am I insane? Is the world insane? Am I sane? Is she sane? Is he sane? Is he is sane? She is sane. The world is sane. You are sane. I am sane. You read me. I read you. I hear you. You hear me. I hear you. You hear me. I hear something. I hear nothing. I hear someone, I hear no one, I see you, I see them, I see myself, I see her, I see him, I see me. Are you reading this? Are you reading that? Are we reading this? Are we reading that? Are we reading me? Are we reading you? Are we together on this? Are we together on that? Did I say no to you? Did I say yes? Did I mention? Did I ask? Did I wonder where you went? Did I ask for your consent? Did I walk from here to there? Did I make you aware? Did I cause you to scare? Did I wait too long? Did I not wait long enough? Did I watch the moon last night? Will I watch the moon tonight? Will you cry when I leave? Will you cry when I die? I am without. I am within. I am dead. I am alive. I am he. He is me. I am him, she is you, you are she, I am her, she is me, we are one, we are two, we are me, we are you, you are you, I am me. Before I leave tonight, I'd like to leave you with another article, if I find one that I like. I'm going to ask you to please go to my website, lasteelshow.org, and you'll see a tremendous number of things that I think you'll enjoy. But, in March I did a lot of, did a lot of artwork. And March was a very, or April, I'm sorry, was a very prolific month for me. I posted a lot of digital art, as well as photographs and so on. And I hope you really enjoy them. I want to get to one of the articles. Too many pictures here before I leave you. I got about a minute left, so I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to do that. But I thank everybody for joining me tonight, and I hope that you will go to my website and catch up on everything. So a lot of interesting stuff here. And in the meantime, I want to thank everybody. It's 9 o'clock and time's up. So, actually, time is up here on live, but let me read this last one. And it was called the Boston Marathon. And I wrote this on April 16th. The Boston Marathon bombing was a massive statement to the American people of the vulnerability of our country and the naivety of the American people. The revolution has begun in Boston. Has begun in Boston, just as it did in the original American Revolution by the original Tea Party and the Boston Massacre. Boston is now on lockdown, as well as the U.S. Capitol and the White House, and all other major cities and airports and transit systems are under police and FBI terror alert. Were the bombs a wake-up call to civil war? What was the demographic of the majority of runners in the marathon? They were liberal, white, Massachusetts, Kennedy Democrats, retired or semi-retired baby boomers, students, teachers, and Obama supporters, and progressive gun control advocates from the blue states of Connecticut and Massachusetts, as well as all other blue states. Also, members of other New World Order countries and the UN, EU, supporters of the Arms Control Treaty, recently signed by their majority of members in the U.S. and the UN. I believe the Boston bombing was a political statement made by a political group on Tax Day, April 15, 2013, and believe that the Boston bombing was a signal to the American people and the United States government and to the world that the revolution has begun. Not that no gun or guns were used in the Boston Marathon bombing. The Boston bombing is the beginning, and it happened on April 15, 2013, American Tax Day. Americans must get ready for this war. We must not take it. We must not let it take us by surprise. The country is sustained by the faith of its people and the ideals and the courage and democratic commitment of their elected leaders. Recent polls show Americans have the lowest opinion of their government since the polling first began. The revolution has begun and it cannot be stopped. The walls of Wall Street will soon shake by the massive weight of the people pushing against them to destroy the corporate, corrupt monetary system and those who run it. My great wish for this country is that the revolution is nonviolent. The Boston bombing is a senseless, barbaric attack against innocent people by a violent individual, group, or government who see violence as their only option and innocent Americans as their enemies. An 8-year-old boy lost his life by one of the bomb's blasts. The loss of his innocent life and the deaths of two other innocent people and the injuries of over 150 people by the bombing are not the revolutionary symbols and vision of a better future I want to be a part of. And I'll leave you with that article tonight and say please join me and read my site, enjoy my graphics, and enjoy my articles. I thank so much everybody, thousands and thousands of readers that I've had, on the site, and thousands of listeners who are listening to this show. Thank you very, very much. I can't. I have a number of interesting articles on the Boston Bombers, and I wish you could go to them and see them in my April archives. Anyway, thank you for joining me tonight, and I wish you all the very best. I hope you enjoy the show.